Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast to another Fan Friday. John Ledyard and Trevor Sycamo with you guys. And we've got some very interesting questions today, Trevor. Not all
as
football
always.
Related. I know that's surprising that they're not
as
football related. Should
They get 4 days of straight football content.
That's true.
Friday, you know, casual Friday. They break out their Hawaiian shirts, button it down a little, you know, one button extra, ask some personal questions. You know, they're just trying to get in their feels. I see you guys. You know, I know what you guys are going for.
We'll start with the history question, right? I mean, let's just get it out of the way.
I got the Baker Mayfield one when Kiss was on.
On Wednesday,
like,
yes.
I really did not know any other history question for the rest of the time, but go ahead. Let's fire him away. Everything else is just a bonus for me at this point.
Here we go. Michael Kiss, the weekly question. In what is this, 218 BC? Is that how you say it? Hannibal crossed the Alps. What leadership qualities he possessed do you believe translate to some of the 2018 quarterback prospects? To which I said, did you need leadership to cross the Alps? Like, I can think of a lot of traits you need.
Wow.
But then he said, yeah, if you don't want all 37 of your war elephants to die, though most of them did anyway and didn't take part in the Battle of Lake Trasimene. So was his leadership that great if his war elephants died? That's what I think it's still a trick question.
Dude, it's about, like, the question is obviously about Nick Saban. And, like, leading his elephants into, you know, like the Alps or, like, the college football playoff, you know, and he's just letting them die because a lot of them get hurt before they go to the NFL. We see it at the combine.
Or their workload or their athleticism dwindles. You know, I mean, they didn't have a great pre-draft process. You're going to lose some war elephants on the way, but then out of the mist is going to rise.
Nick Saban tries to run his elephants too thin. And they get to the NFL and they're worn out. So that's, you know what, Michael? That's not the question you asked, but you didn't ask the right question because it's Nick Saban. What's up?
Taste it, Michael. Taste it.
What's up?
What else do we got here? We got, do you guys have a preference of either of the Florida State tight ends in Saunders versus Izzo? That's you down in your neck of the woods. Have you seen either? I've seen Saunders a little bit, I think.
Oh, I've only seen Izzo a little bit. So
Is he good? Izzo got anything?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he's not – like, they have the two other dynamic weapons. Like, they have a more dynamic weapon in the run game with Francois and, like, okay, I guess you'd say Akers or whoever's going to take most of the running back role. And then, like, Auden Tate and Naquan Murray would be the first two offensive weapon guys. So, like, I've seen a little bit of Izzo. Hold on, let me look up his catches right now. But I didn't see, like – him being a feature piece.
Well, yeah, so. He's not. He only has 34 career catches, 19 last year. So, yeah, you're not. I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing you're saying, like, late round type guys that I can think of at this point that would be, or guys that could project out to much better seasons this year. I saw some of Saunders, unless I'm thinking of another Saunders, but when I watched, because I have a little crush on Francois, I think he's the beast. Saunders,
no question.
He only has 16 career catches. So, I mean, neither of these guys are have been used much to this point. I guess it's who we think might blossom this year. But I just haven't seen enough of either of them to really definitively say, oh, yeah, this guy's going to have a big year. This guy, you know, I just haven't seen. I mean, they have been seldom used to this point when we really tried to focus on guys that at least had some run with teams at this point.
I mean, I know Izzo definitely has, like, the frame and the mentality to be, like, more of a power guy to play in line and block and do all that stuff. He might be, like, an H-back kind of a guy, I think. But you're right. Like, I haven't seen enough. I've been paying too much attention to the other Florida State studs to really know. So,
dude, Florida State's freaking loaded up. If that offensive line gets right.
Alabama, Denver's Alabama is one versus two. And
Alabama's going to win, though. Hate to say it.
Yeah.
What do we got here? How much? Okay. So, did you watch the NHL playoffs last night?
I did not get to see it last night. I only watched it as the scores came up.
Wow.
I was at a a poker event, like the Buccaneers put on, and
oh yeah, that's right. You were tweeting, but you were live tweeting the poker event.
I was live tweeting the open bar is actually what I was live tweeting.
That's pretty freaking awesome that they do that.
Oh dude, it was so awesome. It was great. I'm gonna guess right around zero good hands all night.
Wow.
But a guy who works for Pewter Report, who does, which is where I work, he does a lot of tech stuff. He got fifth place in the whole tournament, which is, I think they start off with like, I don't know, like 100 people, 130 people, something like that. And if you get in the top 10, then you get some kind of prizes that go, that like descend and obviously important. And the number one prize was a all expenses paid trip to the Super Bowl.
What?
And yeah, and like number two was an all expenses paid trip to when the Bucks play the Cardinals in week two. And so anyways, my friend won fifth place, which was a club seats package to the Bucks Patriots Thursday night game that's in Tampa week five. So dude, it was dope. It was awesome.
That's sick. Can he take somebody with him?
I think he
Well, you'll be covering the game, so he can't take you.
Yeah, I mean the Pewter Report people will be there anyways, but I think he gets four tickets.
Oh wow. Jeez, yeah. That's a great deal, man.
I know, dude. It's fun. It's good stuff. So, like, 10 Bucks players were in it, and if you knocked a Bucks player out, you got like a signed ball by them, and that was the thing. So, like, anytime a Bucks player went all in, like everybody in the table just like immediately matched it if they could.
Dude, Pittsburgh needs this. Ball. This is an awesome freaking idea. Who all was invited to this?
It's the like the luxury suite holders, and my company owns one of the suites there. Oh, nice. So.
Cool.
It's basically a way to repay the people who fork over some change for some luxury seats during the season. So cool. It's great stuff.
Anyway, we probably don't have a lot of listeners that are that into the NHL, but we got a question about Ron Hainsey, who, if you've watched, has been a complete dumpster fire for the Penguins. You've probably seen enough to even know that, Trevor. One of their defensemen. And last night, he pulled out a straight Houdini move and slipped by two Predators players who ran into each other and took each other out.
Oh, yeah. I did see this highlight.
The ice, finished off by tapping in a goal from a Malkin cross, but it was absurd. I don't know where it came from. Jaw hit the floor at that point. But, yeah, I don't expect that to continue for Ainsy, but that was a pretty neat moment.
Did Pekka Rinne just suck?
I mean, he didn't suck. I mean, the backhander by Rust, he shouldn't have let in. It was a soft goal.
I just think he's bad.
I mean, he was great all playoffs, you know, and then he was terrible the first two games. Then he was
good
in game three and amazing in game four. And then he was rough to start this one. I definitely would not have pulled him, but I don't know what they were. I don't know what they were thinking and why they pulled him when it was 3-0. I mean, that was probably the only issue, and it's not like their backup goaltender was Marc-Andre Fleury or anything like that. So that was a weird decision to me. Want to hear a joke? This is supposed to be the question for us, I think, but they also give us the answer: the NBA Finals.
Oh wow! I thought that they were going to be more creative than that. And be like, hey, you want to hear a joke? And like that
Listen
was their
to
question
this podcast.
For the week. No, well, I wasn't even going to go there. I was just going to say, like, you respond to him like, yeah, sure. And then he waits till next Fan Friday to actually tell us the joke. Like, we just got to be sitting here waiting for it. Be like, wow, that was.
Do you agree with his sentiment that the NBA Finals are a joke, though?
No. No.
But you're not watching.
The NBA Finals?
Yeah.
I've watched the NBA Finals.
Oh, I thought you said you weren't watching because you already know what's going to happen.
No, I mean, like, I say that because I'm a tough guy and I say stuff, you know, but like, I watched all of game one and game two. And then I was only able to watch, I think, like 70% of game three. But yeah, I don't understand people who think the NBA finals are terrible. Like, you're watching the best player of all time. What's up?
Yep.
Play against probably the best team of all time. What's up?
Yeah. It's a blast. It's one of the most anticipated finals
Ever. Yeah, like, I mean, you can, like, if you want to be like, oh wow, Golden State's gonna sweep them, like, no, like, it's not entertaining. Like, you got, like, you realize that you were watching it, even if you don't think that this Golden State team is the best team of all time, fine, whatever. They are a top five team of all time, and that's not even close to debatable.
Yeah, right.
And so you're watching a Cavs team who has the best player of all time, with players like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, and the highest payroll in the NBA right now. So, like, they have plenty of weapons to do this thing. They are clearly the second best team in the NBA, and they are no match for this Warriors team. Like, what does that tell you? Like, you're watching greatness right now. Just, yeah. Like, it, just enjoy it. I know people hate that, like, but...
Yeah, they'd rather be angry than...
Well, that's very true, but
I agree with you.
That's like our basketball take for the podcast.
Yeah, there. I think it's been, have the finals games actually been fun to watch? The first one, I thought the Warriors controlled the whole way. The second one, I thought for three quarters it was fairly tight, like it was back and forth. The Warriors had control, but it was, you know, the Cavs were pushing and pushing. The third game, I thought the Cavs were better, straight up. They tanked in the last couple minutes, I thought, and went into a shell. But I thought they were better throughout most of the game, but then, you know, that's the Warriors. They can play worse than, I mean, they had 20 turnovers in game two, and they scored 132 points.
That's why, like, it's fascinating to watch this Warriors team when you do. Like, I just don't understand, and I guess I understand it because it's an old school mentality, but, like, people love hard nose defense, like, basically zero room for error sports, because and I think the reason why they like this is because everybody in the world can play defense. Like, some people are obviously better than others, but, like, you can at least play defense. I remember when I was playing soccer growing up, we had a bad team one year, and my coach was just basically like, we may not be the best team, but we're going to be the most conditioned, and we're going to play tough defense. And I was like, damn it. Like, you're just going to make us run a million miles the whole season. So, but, like, it's something like that. Like, there's that mentality where I love defense because, like, when I was playing the sport, I wasn't really talented, so I just played defense.
Scrapper. Adele Vadova.
Yeah, like, basically. And so, like, they respect that. Where the Warriors can turn the ball over, like, 40 times and still score over 100. Like, that's incredible that they're able to do that. And people instead get mad at it when they really should kind of be appreciating it. Like, you can have as loose of a game plan like that, and you can still beat teams like the second best team in the NBA because you're so good at offense. So,
yeah. No, I mean, I think it's just been, yeah. I mean, and not only LeBron and KD and Curry, which who have all three of have been absolutely fantastic, but Kyrie Irving was bad the first two games and was just unbelievable the other night. I mean, just unbelievable in game three. I mean, everything dropped. At one point, I think they said he was 12 for 12 in the paint. That's insane.
What Kyrie does, like, to make layups is just...
Yeah, it's been I mean, you can say whatever you want, and people will be mad because the vast majority of people, the Warriors are the villains now, and they're going to want a different result, and you can be mad at the results while loving the process of what's taken place in the games, because especially the last two games, I think, have really been fun, and we've gotten to see, yeah, I mean, last game was edge of your seat type stuff. I don't even think when Durant pulled up that three, I don't think anybody was even ready. Like, LeBron wasn't ready. The announcers felt shocked by it. Like, oh, and suddenly the Warriors are winning? Like, what happened?
Yeah,
you know, it was
right.
It was a stunning moment, I think, for everyone. So, yeah, it was crazy. It was a really fun game. I think it would have been cool to see the Cavs win. And you know, obviously, I'm a Warriors fan, but it's, you know, I think it would have been cool to see the Cavs win and extend it, you know, and make it things. The storylines would have changed a little bit around things, maybe.
Did you like the Cavs winning last year then? Because you just said you're a Warriors fan.
Did I pick them winning or did I want them to win?
Like, did you want them to win?
Oh, no. I've been, like, a Warriors fan, like, since I was, like, a teenager.
But, like, even at the end, like, you knew, like, what this win meant for, like, LeBron and Cleveland and, like,
I think I appreciated it a lot. I mean,
okay,
that's a 73 win team. Like, that's incredible. You know, it was never like a, I mean, I think LeBron's hands down, like, you're talking about he and Jordan for the top player of all time. And I mean, you can put other people in the conversation if you want, that's fine. But I think it's those two, that's the conversation. And so, yeah, I mean, for him to be able to do it, I mean, huge on his resume, obviously, you know, I mean, I mean, it was incredible to watch that type of a comeback, especially for the city of Cleveland. I have a ton of friends from Cleveland, was really happy for them and how long it had been since they won a championship. So all that, yeah, sure. I mean, but
all
I,
right,
mean,
I
wanted
go. The
that's
Warriors
to win. Yeah,
I mean, that's all I need.
It's not like I'm a diehard. I mean, I don't watch all 82 games or anything like that. You know.
Oh, so you're a bandwagon. I'm just kidding.
I am. I'm generally speaking, yeah, I jump on. I mean, I follow all year long, but man, we don't got time for that in the middle of NFL season. It's football. Speaking of football, let's get back to football questions. maybe too late. I don't know why. Oh, because you thought maybe this question got in too late. You get to start a franchise with four current non-quarterback players.
Oh, wow.
Who are they and why?
Wow.
Can't take Jameis. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm taking Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt first, too. Probably Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. That's probably going to be my four.
I'm going to take...
if J.J. Watt's back's healthy. Other than that, Von Miller.
I'm going to take Joey Bosa.
Wow. Wait, you're going to take Bosa over Von Miller, Khalil Mack?
Well, I was going to pick Khalil Mack as the next one.
Taking Khalil Mack over Von Miller.
Can I just go four defensive linemen? Have the nastiest D-line of all time?
Yeah, you can.
Just go Aaron Donald. And then, God, I don't get it.
Julio. Don't take it.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I need an offensive guy. Who do I need?
It's some semblance of those guys. You're taking Donald and one of the four best pass rushers in the league.
My guy, Odell Beckham, for sure. He's got to be one of them.
Over Antonio Brown and Julio Jones?
It happened.
That just because it's your guy. It's one of those.
I just love Odell Beckham.
Yeah, me too. He's the man. Who would you both say are the early top five tight end prospects? We're not doing rankings yet, but... if I had to say the names that I think NFL teams will have, and remember, I don't always agree with that, or that most draft pundits will have in the conversation.
All right, you name five, and you name the five, and I will either say agree or disagree. Like, we won't get into a rankings battle. I will just say the word agree or disagree if you have the right five names in there I think.
Fumi Galli.
Oh, do you want me to go after each guy?
I thought you were, yeah.
No. You're doing all five.
Fumi Galli.
And then I'm going to say disagree.
Goddard, Mark Andrews, Mike Gesicki, and probably Brenneman, maybe? I don't know. I don't think Herndon's on anybody's radar yet.
Disagree.
With which ones? Herndon?
I'm not going to say. They gotta wait for the
wait,
rank.
How many do you disagree with? Gesicki, Fumi Galli, Goddard, Andrews. You're not going to say how many you disagree with.
Nope.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm here for clickbait, man. That's the only reason why I'm on the show.
That is true, actually.
We're up to you. You'd be giving away classified information left and right. People would tune in until draft weekend next year.
That's going to happen anyway. We have two other questions about Ryan Izzo.
Really?
Yeah. Man, the dude has 34 career catches. He had 19 catches last year. Maybe we need to check him out.
I mean, like, he's going to be like the Nick O'Leary thing where you're going to know his name by the end of the season because he's probably going to be.
Will he be good or will he be like Nick O'Leary, though?
Oh, okay. Oh, well, did you know that Nick O'Leary is the grandson of.
I never heard that before. Is he really? With Taylor Decker out for a while. That hurts so bad to even say. Could you guys see Joe Dahl performing well as the starter at left tackle with what you saw of him in college? First of all, I'm a massive Decker fan. He was like my
number, I think.
He was like my eighth or ninth overall player. So he was in my top 10. He was like one spot above Michael Thomas for me, who was also in my top 10. But this is crushing because I think he's out 4 to 8 months. So looks like there's a decent chance he's like IR designated to return deal at best. Which is crushing not only for myself, who really wanted to see him play after a strong rookie season, but also for the Lions, who really were counting on him big time at left tackle. Joe Dahl is probably a better guard than he will be a tackle, but he is a pretty smooth athlete. I don't think he has the kind of length that you're necessarily looking for at tackle, but he gets by, I think he'll be able to be a poor man's type Nick Solder, maybe, basically out there, who I think struggles more than his reputation suggests. And I think Joe Dahl will have his struggles for sure. But I don't think this is like a TJ Clemmings type situation or anything like that. But, I mean, he's capable at both spots for sure. But if you want Joe Dahl's best play, I think he's probably going to be inside a guard. But I think he's capable of working against speed rushers. But if there's one thing that will give him issues, I think maybe it could be power rushers on the outside. You know, I think that and taking away the two-way go from those wide nine rushers, that might take some adjustment for him. Decker was really good at that as a rookie, and that might take some adjusting from Dahl. See Dahl?
Not beyond, I mean, just little flashes. You're much more of a trench guy than I am. I know, I watch Decker, and I love Decker. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, like, that really sucks.
That's so crushing, yeah.
Decker is really good. Ohio State has good football players. I don't know if you knew that.
Do they?
Like, I don't know if that might be like an inside scoop for you guys on Friday.
Wow, you're dropping nuggets, dude. Oh,
so like, yeah, like that. Yeah, Ohio State. You guys should watch them. They're good. They do good football. Yeah,
I don't even know what to say. That blew my mind.
You should probably say the next question.
Next question. part one. Best, I think this is meaning to say best bars in Pittsburgh, Big Shot Bob's or Sidelines. That's the part one of the question. I have not been to Big Shot Bob's, I don't think. If I've been to Sidelines, it's pretty sweet. Hofbräu is pretty sweet too. I love outdoor bars are where it's at. Part two, where would this 2018's top tight end rank in the 2017 class ranking? So I think what that was saying is, where would this year's top tight end rank in last year's rankings?
Right.
We kind of talked about that yesterday a little bit, I think, right?
A little bit. And if you're looking for a big receiving option, so Andrews is probably the top guy that we looked over. And so I think we touched on it a little bit before that Andrews would probably be after Ingram or Njoku, whichever you had as your third tight end.
Njoku is your first.
Okay, well, then you're an idiot.
It me.
Wow, you had him over Howard? Mm-hmm. How have we not talked about this?
Well, yeah, I had him like two spots over Howard. I mean, both of them were like top 13 guys for me, but yeah, I had him. I had Njoku, Howard, and Ingram like eight spots apart or something. I think all three are star, and Ingram could be the best one year one. But I think those other guys have bigger ceilings. So just depends on what you want, basically.
To answer his question, fourth. So like not a first round guy, certainly, but like you could still pick. I could, like, if Andrews would have left last year, I could still definitely see Andrews being a top 50 pick. Right around kind of where 50 is. So,
and you have to keep this in mind too. Even though last year's tight end class got hyped up a lot, I thought it was really top heavy as I went into it. Not that there weren't contributors, but in guys that could fit into roles on an offense and help out. But the only guys that I saw really being productive, consistently, star type, feature receivers, were Howard, Njoku, and Ingram. And then after that, Jake Butt would have been in that late second, early third round range, but I had no idea what his health situation was. Obviously, at that point, he fell like the fifth round. And then I didn't have another top 100 grade. I think Shaheen snuck into my top 100. He was like late third round grade for me. And that was so it was
solely on Chipotle.
Yeah, solely on Chipotle, honestly. And no, solely on potential, though, for real, because I didn't think he was a guy that was going to. I think he does have great potential, but he's got to lose weight and develop as a route runner, and I think there's a lot there to work with. But, I wasn't even particularly high on him, and he was my fifth tight end. So I thought this was a group that did need a little bit of work in some ways, even though there was a lot of promise. Even I had a number of fourth-round grades. So that's where you're looking at in terms of the drop-off after the top three guys. So when we say fourth, that's where I think he'd be, but – that doesn't necessarily mean he's for sure a first-round guy, too.
I hear you.
What team is the number one pick next season? I mean, the Jets are practically
not even close. Leo, not Jamal even Adams, close.
And doo-doo butter.
If they win a game, I'll be shocked.
Doo-doo butter. 1 week
if
after
the Jets
certified
win a game, I'll be shocked.
The Jets are definitely picking. You think you'll be shocked if they win one game?
One game.
Oh, I got to find the Hackenberg note that was out there because it's just amazing.
Because here's the, like, Josh McCown struggles with the wide receivers that he has, which he's going to, you're going to replace him with Christian Hackenberg.
Sure, and he's going to suck.
Like, who?
He's not going to beat anyone, right? This is from, I think, NewJersey.com. I'm not sure. I think that's the site. Report on practice. When Hackenberg misses, he really misses. He threw just two interceptions in team drills, but nearly tossed six others. And I'm not talking about a receiver falling down. I'm saying the defender just dropped the ball. Other times, the wideout running back tight end was wide open, and Hackenberg sailed it over his head or bounced it to him. That can't happen. In the three media open OTAs, Hackenberg hit reporters with passes twice. Oh, my goodness.
Folks, you can't make this up.
Second round.
They're not winning a game. They're not winning a game.
They're definitely picking first overall. They might win one game, but
I'm looking up their schedule right now. They start off two games on the road, definitely losses. Then it's the Dolphins, the Jags, who we can't make fun of the Jags anymore because they have a stacked roster. And if they lose to the Jets, it's embarrassing.
But they could lose to the Jets, though. I mean, it is the Jags.
They could only lose to the Jags if Blake Bortles single-handedly tanks the game. Then they play the Browns. Depending on their quarterback situation, that might be one, even though the Browns are far more talented. Pats lost, Dolphins lost, Falcons lost, Bills lost, Bucks lost, Panthers lost, Chiefs lost, Broncos. It's December 10th, so you figure their quarterback situation's pretty worked out, and they're obviously still the Broncos. Lost, Saints lost, Chargers lost, Patriots lost. Like, I see maybe two wins on that schedule.
Yeah, and they'll have one, I bet, probably.
Go zero. So,
yeah. All right, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. It's the first place I go to look for tickets for a game or concert. SeatGeek, they make it so easy because they do all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money, and SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. Get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code LODRAFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LODRAFT today. We'll be back next week. We're talking offensive line here on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. And eventually we'll get the defensive line and we'll talk about the Bucks or the Steelers, who has the better defensive line. And we will let the people have what they want. But until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.